going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTN right here on Game Plus Network. Chris Mee hanging out with you on this Wednesday. Lots to get to on this show despite there being zero games in the NHL. And I just heard it was pretty much official over the past couple days, but I guess it's now officially official that the NHL won't partake in the Olympics. We'll talk about that in a little bit, maybe towards the end of the show. Still trying to gather news if, you know, I'm seeing maybe Team USA will have a roster, maybe throw some players over there, you know, to play in the Olympics, but of course not NHL caliber players. Brian Gianta? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen here. We're gonna keep tabs on it as we progress here on Mean Streets, but we have a lot to talk about from an NBA standpoint. There's a few games on the hard court here today. Just came down that the Raptors and the Bulls are postponed, so we won't talk about that game, but Tino's going to drop by. We got some picks, and we have some props. I got 5 3-point props for you. Want to announce yesterday's winners as well. We have a handful of winners. We're going to continue this contest. We're going to continue to do it. We want your best pick today. There's no NFL, but we will look at the Week 16 early lines. We're right back at it tomorrow. We had the two NFL games yesterday. The Rams took care of the Seahawks, and the Eagles took care of Washington. No real surprise there. Both teams covered. Slow start for Philly, but they managed to find a way to get past Washington, a depleted Washington football team. And we will look at the playoff scenarios. And as I said, take an early look at Week 16 lines, but we're right back at it tomorrow with the Titans and the 49ers. San Fran, 3.5-point favorites. Joe Glant's going to join us tomorrow. We will preview that game at length, talk some touchdowns, some props, and some NBA stuff tomorrow as well. But today, it will be a little bit of a recap from Week 15. We'll turn the page here, look ahead to Week 16. If you have any fantasy football waiver wire stuff, leave them there. You're watching live on our YouTube page. Smash that like button. And as usual, any comments, any questions, you leave them there. We can address them on this show or before tip off. I will always circle back just like I did yesterday and circle back and took a look at a lot of winners in this contest. This is a lot of, hey, you guys are super sharp. You guys are super sharp. Tino, let's bring up the contest, what we're doing here, what we did yesterday, what we did on Monday, what we will do today and tomorrow as well. We will not be here on Friday and we will not be here on Monday, but we will announce the winner on Tuesday. So what we are looking for you guys is just to give your best bet of the day. It could be any bet across any sport, a teaser. It doesn't matter the odds. It really does not matter. As long as you get that bet correct, you are entered into a draw. And as I mentioned, we will draw on Tuesday. The winner will take home a free FTN betting package and more prizes to come here on Mean Streets. We want this show to be about you guys as well. We're trying to incorporate all the viewers, all the listeners. You can watch this show, of course, on Game Plus, a great lineup on Game Plus Network. You got Pat Mayo and Jake Seeley, the fantasy footballers, a lot of great stuff on Game Plus. And if you wanted to just head on over to our YouTube page, if you're watching on Game Plus, in the comment section, this is key, in the YouTube comment section. If you're watching here live, you may not see that comment section. Once the show is over, you refresh the page, and it'll pop up, and you give your best possible pick. But if you are watching on Game Plus, head on over to FTN YouTube page. Subscribe for one. Smash that like button for two. And three, leave your best bet of the day. And as I mentioned, if you do win, you are well on your way. We got George and Tino hanging out. Tino is going to stop by in just a little bit. John Bates is super disappointing. Yesterday, we had him as a long shot anytime touchdown at 11-1, a 29-yard grab. I think it was a 29-yard grab or maybe a 28-yard grab yesterday, and he got stopped at the 2. Oh, man, it was so close. We were almost there. We were right there from the Bates. One or two yards away from that touchdown. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We are going to keep things flowing here on the show. Great. Just Jeff Hicks hanging out. You got it, dude. You got it. You're down here on the list. We're going to break, and we're going to announce the winners from yesterday. We're going to put them into the winners from Monday, and we will continue this contest as well. So Mean Streets continues right here on Game Plus Network. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back into Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network on our YouTube page, FTN YouTube page. And Tino and myself, we're feeling a little festive. It's a festive week, right? It's happy holidays. Yesterday you came in as Santa. Today you have an elf getup. I'm super jealous and it's awesome.
Yeah, I am the elf on the shelf today, except I am the elf behind the desk. And shout out to Dave Gettleman, who's making an appearance. Similar to Dave Gettleman, I think my days are numbered in opportunities to wear this outfit, so I had to put it on for you. You got to see I made a wardrobe change right before I got on here. But, you know, I'm a man of the people. I think the people enjoyed the Santa suit yesterday, so hopefully they enjoy the elf suit just as much.
I really enjoyed the Santa suit, and I enjoy the elf suit just as much. Yes, I appreciate you taking part with me, so I'm not the only one to look like a fool here, although you look great, sir. Thank you. Couple things we're going to talk about on this show. That we're going to talk about Cooper Kupp on this show. We're going to talk about him potentially being the MVP. We're going to have an MVP conversation, Tino and I. We're going to talk about Jonathan Taylor. We're going to talk about Brady, Rodgers. We want to hear from you guys, who's the MVP in your mind through 15 weeks of the season. We're not talking fantasy. Clearly the fantasy football MVP is Cooper Kupp, right? Mm-hmm. Considering where he was drafted, he's the fantasy football MVP going in the fourth and the fifth round in that zero RB, dead zone RB area, right? When everyone's looking for what RB can I grab? What scrub, quote unquote, scrub RB can I grab in the fourth or fifth round? The answer was Cooper Kupp, and you hopefully just drafted Jonathan Taylor or a bell cow back in the first couple rounds, something that we preach a lot on this show, Tino. Get yourself a stud running back, and over the past couple of years, we've seen wideouts pop in the fourth and fifth round. This year, Cooper Kupp. Last year, Stephon Diggs. DK Metcalf was like a fourth or fifth round pick. I don't know who next year's fourth or fifth round stud wide receiver is going to be, but we can go ahead and give the fantasy MVP to Cooper Kupp.
Well, we can. I also do want to give an honorable mention, shout out, though, to Deebo Samuel, who a lot of people got for free, too.
Sure.
And he was a guy deep in the rounds in terms of wide receivers who ended up being – I mean, here's what I'll shout out Deebo Samuel for, and I could put Cordarrelle Patterson into this, too. These guys are now going to be the positionless players moving forward. I think I talked to Jake about this and Jeff Radcliffe and, you know, you about this. And everyone was talking about rushing quarterbacks, kind of breaking fantasy and kind of what's the next step for fantasy football and what that difference maker is going to be. I think it's going to be these running back wide receiver players. You know, as a Giant fan, maybe Kadarius Toney becomes that player, right? Do we look at these players differently now when you're valuing them in the offseason? Can this guy get some carries at running back? Because it really does help you out. I mean, for me this week, I can move Patterson down. I lose Tariq Hill. He was in my RB spot. I can move him down to receiver. I don't got to – like, you know, you can play the waiver wire and manipulate it completely different. So Cooper Kupp is fantasy MVP. I love that Jonathan Taylor, though. People forget Jonathan Taylor in redraft leagues was getting taken at the top of the second round. That will not happen next year.
No. If I'm ranking right now, he's number one.
Yeah.
He's number one for me. No. I put him one. I probably put Kupp two.
Which was interesting, though, going into this year, though, he was dynasty 1-1 for a lot of people, right? I know in terms of dynasty rankings, he was to the top, but in redraft, people still gave the nod, you know, as they should have to guys like Derrick Henry and so on and so forth. And it depends if you were in a super draft league or a super flex league, but yeah, so.
We'll get into the MVP odds. Yeah, we'll get into the MVP odds. I wanted to bring some attention to something we have in the bet tracker for Cooper Kupp. Right, 125-1, yeah. And a lot of people are now talking about him at least being in the MVP conversation. We'll talk about that. Joe Metz hanging out with us, hanging out with the boys. Yes, Tyrese Halliburton, run it back today. We do have him a little bit later on for a three-point prop. I believe his three-point prop is at 1.5, something that I like quite a bit. It is juice to the over, but we can put that into a parlay here. That's kind of what we do for the NHL shot props. We take three or four and put them into a parlay and make it worth your while. So let's announce some of the winners. You were on here, sir. Jalen Hurts. Anytime touchdown, we'll put you into the draw, I suppose. But you know, if you win, we will immediately draw after.
I was conflicted in putting a comment, and then I realized you commented, and so did George. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to be the only one not commenting. I had to get in on the party. Had to do it.
Yes. Shout out Sean McCormick. He gave us a 2-game teaser. He's 2 for 2 now. He teased Philly down to -1 in the Rams as a pick'em. He got that. So you were in the draw twice. He's put 4 picks. He's 4-0. Hunter Smith, Rams moneyline. Congratulations, sir. You are in there. You did not sweat that out at any moment, even when that game was like 3-0. I don't think you sweated that out at any moment. Eric Luce, I believe I pronounced that right, hopefully. Duncan Robinson, over 2.5 threes. You got that pretty easily, sir. 6 threes for you. Giddy up. You are in the draw. That's the Tino Hurts TD. You got that. Mm-hmm. What else do we have here? John Harris, Max Pacioretty, 3.5 shots. You got that. It wasn't Jonathan Marshall, so he didn't do it. It was Max Pacioretty. And you know what? It seems to be one or the other. We did have that conversation yesterday. I'm just going to sit here and say today, Max Pacioretty always 3.5, just do it. Like, he just hits more times than not. Just go back to him. Yesterday, with 5 minutes left in the game, he had 2 shots and he finishes with 5. So he poured it on late, and you got that one, John Harris. Good for you, sir. What do we got here? T-Bone Pickens, 2 for 2 as well. Yesterday, he was correct. He teased Philly to -4 and under 45. Just got that one with the total being at 44. Jeff Hicks hanging out here on the show. Sadiq Bey, over 21.5 points and rebounds. You got that one, sir. Good on you. I like that bet. What do we got here? Brad Grimm, Jalen Hurts, anytime touchdown. Yes, you are in the draw. Mike Taylor, Wyoming. He called it easy money, Tino.
That Robert, hurt.
3 points.
You saw that triggered me before the show. Yeah. I don't have enough type for Kent State rant, but that shouldn't have been easy money, but whatever.
And GZ, over 3.5 Labatts, -200 to purchase Labatts. Did we get both? Please leave your comment in the comment section, and we will put you into the draw, sir. And we will get you in there for sure. I'm pretty sure that you purchased Labatts. I'd just like to know if you crushed 4 of them last night is something that I'd really like to know. Man, everyone's pretty sharp. There was a couple that were missed, like, and maybe my bad for giving Marchessault, you know, shot prop, Hedman shot prop. I saw a Stamkos in there. That one didn't hit. I saw a couple long shots, you know, some touchdown long shots. Russell Wilson, that one didn't hit. But, you know, for the most part, man, people are pretty sharp. They don't need us to give them picks.
I do like the mix of some long shots in there, though, right? Like, yeah, the Russell Wilson rushing touchdown. Like, Jalen Hurts was more of the lock of the two quarterbacks to rush for a touchdown. But I don't mind the gamble. Hey, and if you get a win early in the week, why not? Why not roll the dice a little bit? I know you want more entries, but it's like a risk-free bet. You know what I mean? It's like you can't really lose. And even if you do, we just hit the, you know, we hit the road again the next day, just like today.
We do.
But we have no hockey to lose on, so that's good news, right? No hockey to lose on.
Hey, for the most part, hockey's been good. You settled down over there. But yeah, you're right. I mean, no NFL, no hockey. We really have to narrow it down with some of our picks here today. So we will talk a lot about the NFL or the NBA, and we will, as I mentioned, talk some NFL. Let's recap yesterday just for a bit. From a pick standpoint, Tino, I think it was pretty good, honestly. You know, we gave some long shots for touchdowns, but what we said on this show, two guys that we really liked to score touchdowns that we didn't give on the boards just because it would seem so obvious is Cooper Kupp, right? Yep. He scored twice, and Jalen Hurts, and he scored twice. Like, those were the chalky touchdown calls. And if you were in on it, I mean, if you were in on it twice, you got a decent payday to have both of those guys. But something that I keep stressing, and let's bring up, you have the, I don't know if you have the FTN betting package. I mean, we're giving one away, but if you have we have this, guys. And I talk about it all the time. We got Mets hanging out with us. We got Kalachi hanging out with us. We got a lot of the FTN crew hanging out here today on Mean Streets. We appreciate you guys. All sports, all picks over at FTNbets.com/pricing. Use the promo code MEANIE, save yourself 20%, $49.99 per month. It comes with exclusive tools, player prop models, exclusive chats across every single sport, because we are giving picks across every single sport, premium NFL stats powered by FTN data. So unfortunately, something that we talked about yesterday on this show is that I wanted to get in on Gerald Everett. I wanted to get in on Antonio Gibson. You know, some books didn't offer these props until super, super late. But if you had the betting package and you followed FTN alerts, you get notified when we make a bet. You're hanging out in the Discord channel. When we make a bet, we let you know, hey, Antonio Gibson, 2.5 catches, +120 yesterday. Put 2 units on that. We got that one pretty easily. Antonio Gibson, over 14.5 receiving yards at -110, Tino. Got that on the very first play of the game. Gerald Everett, over 35.5 receiving yards. He got that one pretty easily as well. So a couple that we didn't have on the show that we did have in the bet tracker. I would love to be able to give those props on this show. That's all I want to do. It's just been tough over the past week and a half or so with all the COVID happening. We just don't have these lines. Players just We just don't know if they're actually going to play until inactives and actives come out, and that's like an hour and a half before. But there were some things that we got right on this show with Dallas Goedert at 43 and a half receiving yards. He had a massive day. We didn't get Jalen Hurts over 44 and a half rushing yards, so we have to take a loss there. But any takeaways that you have from those two games? It kind of went how we thought. I know we were chatting back and forth. The Eagles, you know, classic Philly, big favorites at home. It looked like, I don't know, the game starts at 7 and they set their alarm for 8:05. I don't know if the extra couple days of rust, but that's, they started off slow, but they dominated that game.
I'm sick to my stomach about my Jalen Hurts first touchdown bet. I'm still sick about it, and I blame Dallas Goedert's foot. Man, it's all Dallas Goedert's foot, actually. It's his heel's fault. If that ball doesn't hit his heel, Jalen Hurts is no doubt scoring the first touchdown, and we're having a different conversation today. We were on the under. I guess I could take that away. It's funny. I don't know why. I guess because we thought it'd be a similar storyline to the last time they played it. It was. Hurts had two rushing touchdowns in that game. It was 20-17, but we kind of did like a lot of offense in that game, and we ended up taking the under anyways. As it was going down from 42, went to 40, went down to 39, and the line was moving everywhere. So it was kind of hard to depict, but when I look back on it now, we did like some offense in that game. We just weren't sure what we were going to get out of Washington. Credit to you, man. You hit me up right before the game was starting when the Antonio Gibson lines were out, and I was trying to get in on it on the same game parlay, but we gamble responsibly here, and I know, you know, we had some labats yesterday, and I didn't want two of us to gamble irresponsibly, so I did not get down with both of those bets, but I was on the reception prop in one of my parlays. I hope we get that Antonio Gibson this week from a fantasy perspective. I mean, that was probably his highest usage out of the backfield all season. If not, yeah. That's his season high, right? I think he had like 7 targets, close to it.
Yeah, he did. He had 7 targets, 6 grabs, 39 yards, 15 carries, 26 yards. He wasn't efficient on the ground, but he left at one point in that game. After the second drive, I think he spent a lot of time in the blue 10. You know, there were reports in the game that it was a toe injury, and then there were some reports I saw on Twitter surface that maybe he was just getting looked at for a concussion. But, you know, honestly, we probably would have got that under if it wasn't for that Goddard play, because Washington didn't move the ball.
No.
Like, they were set up in the red zone with that fluke interception that went off Goddard's heel and was up. I mean, it was a nice play by Collins to be able to grab that, but there's really no takeaways for me in this game. Excuse me. If you're a Washington fan, you hope that Heinicke can be ready to go moving forward. Terry McLaurin, 4 targets, 2 grabs, 51 yards. The 46 of his 51 yards came on that one catch. Slay kind of shut him down, but honestly, just the quarterback play. And I thought Gilbert did okay. For a guy who had really spent, 2 days with this Washington organization, it's really tough. It's tough for anybody in the NFL, whether you're a defensive back, a running back, or offensive lineman, let alone a quarterback, man, to come in and be the play caller for your team on the road in a must-win situation. I thought he did okay. 20 for 31, 194. Ricky Seals-Jones did lead the way with 7 targets. He had 4 grabs, 29 yards. And then, the John Bates, 120, 1 catch, 29 yards. Did you see the play?
I watched it. I watched the whole thing.
I jumped up. I thought we were
I didn't want to mention it. Listen, there's tons of bad beats out there. Did I have Eagles money line, Jalen Hurts, 2 touchdowns, a John Bates touchdown? Maybe. Oh, but I don't want to harp on it. When I wrote to you, I said I'm sick to my stomach. It's all right. We move forward.
All right. We're just about to, but there was one more thing I wanted to get to from, actually, the only thing I want to get to from that game is Dallas Goedert, right? Sky's the limit. Hopefully this guy can, if you have him on your fantasy football champ team, hopefully he can bring you a championship. Ever since they split up Ertz and Goedert, he'd been great. For Goddard, 9 targets, 7 grabs, 135 yards, and he left a lot on that field.
Miles Sanders, I guess we didn't mention his name at all. He didn't score, but
Miles Sanders hasn't all year. But you're right. We should give him some love, shouldn't we? His last couple of games, 131, 120, 64, and 94. It's clear now what the Eagles didn't have over the first few weeks of the season was an identity on offense. They have one now, and they want to run the football. That's what they want to do. They want to run the rock with Hurts, with Howard, with Gainwell, with Sanders. They want to run. And really, the guy to target in that offense, it's not DeVonta Smith. It's Dallas Goedert. Hurts loves his tight ends. But, man, Sanders looks good behind that offensive line.
Once Orangeman gets in the chat, I'm going to tell him he was 1 week too early with the Giants coming up this week for the Eagles. Jordan Howard's getting 2 touchdowns next week. This upcoming Sunday, that's when it's coming. Miles Sanders had a ceiling game. Jordan Howard, 2 touchdowns, is right up the alley.
He just jumped in at one point. One of my buddies asked me this morning about Howard, if he could start him this week in his semifinal matchup. I told him that was super risky, but I mean, he just got 50 yards. They're going to be double-digit point favorites. It could happen. I expected him to get more play in around the goal line, right? They gave it to Sanders, he was stuffed, and then Howard came in, and then they had the sneak, obviously, with Hurts, but that's the one thing about
Sanders. How do you not run the ball with Hurts? So that's the issue. That's with all the Eagles running backs. It's hard to trust any of them because Hurts is like automatic from
so it's going to be tough to draft Miles Sanders with confidence next year, knowing that he has 0 touchdowns this year, but he could finish with like 1,000 yards on the ground. It's crazy, right? But you have a rushing quarterback like that. Eric says he had Cup 2 touchdowns, but only 1 Hurts. Coming in with all the winners. He's coming in with all the winners,
well,
man.
The
I love
winners.
It. Eric, dude, I didn't see no winners from you in the FTN YouTube page, dude. You'll have to get your best pick tonight and put it in there. We got to get you into the draw, although it doesn't seem like you need a betting package. It seems like you're doing yourself all right. I want to talk a little bit about Seattle. Just one takeaway that I have from that game, Tino, is Sony Michel, right? Daryl Henderson returns to the lineup. Sean McVay was talking about how he's going to use both backs, split, bit of a committee. We've seen Henderson have the lion's share of the workload over the first few weeks of the season. Then the injury happened, and Michel looked pretty good. And this is the first game back since, you know, Michel had looked great. I was interested to see how this would play out. And it started with Henderson. He was 6 for 23, 3.8 yards per pop, not great. He did have... 2 targets, 2 catches for 4 yards, but Michel took over that game. He finished with 18 carries, 92 yards, 5.1 yards per attempt. He had a long run of 39 yards, and he also had 2 targets and 2 catches, but he had 23 yards on those 2 catches where Henderson only had 4. So moving forward, if you had both of these guys, it's possible. We've been talking about handcuffing Michel. Got to play Michel, right?
Play
Michel over Henderson?
I have.
What
both
do you
of
do?
Them, so- I don't know. I don't know. I'm so worried. So I told you this in the green room. I knew you're going to bring it up. So it's funny. I went into this week thinking I had my least confidence in Antonio Gibson. My running backs were Fournette, Henderson, and Gibson, and I had all my handcuffs. But now I'm going to slide in Rojo. Michelle's doing well, and like Gibson's in an island by himself. So I feel great about Gibson now, but it's like I'm leaning on guys. Like, yeah, you got to go with Michelle, but I saw Jake Seeley post a tweet last night, and he's probably right. Like, that's how fantasy works, right? You feel confident in Michel this week against the Vikings. You put him in there. It turns into the Rams having to come from behind, and it's a heavy use in the passing game for Daryl Henderson, right? I mean, that's just what happens. Like, it's hard to trust. It's hard to trust right now, and the projections don't make it better because I put Michel in, and he's projected like 9 points, and Henderson's at like 16, so it hurts your stomach a little bit. Projections are whatever, but it's a really tough choice. It's whoever's going to get the touchdown, and I can't get a beat on it right now.
You probably have to go with like a running back that's not part of a split backfield for those decisions. But I think if you own both and you have some decent options that you could, you know, go another way. But I think if you had both and you had to choose between one or the other, I'd go with the hot hand here in Sony Michel. Gotcha. I really would. I thought when they acquired him, he would be the guy. And, I was wrong about that. But maybe here to close out the season, he is going to be the guy.
He got work in the passing game too.
And 3 games in a row, pretty strong here. 24 for 129, 20 for 79. There's not a lot of efficiency in that game, but I thought he picked up a lot of blitzes. I thought he looked good protecting Matthew Stafford against Arizona. And then yesterday, 18 for 92. I think, you know, what McVay said when they acquired him, all he did was talk about the experience that he had, the playoff experience that he had, that he could come in and learn this offense pretty easily, and that he could protect Matthew Stafford. I think it could be a split moving forward, but honestly, I would give the edge to Michel. I think he's the front runner, and I think he's going to be the guy in the playoffs, but it's something that we're certainly going to have to keep an eye on. We'll take a quick break. I agree, Rodman. If Mitchell does play tomorrow, heavy workload for him, going back to 20-plus touches on the ground, maybe a couple touchdowns. I think he could be in play. We'll preview that game tomorrow. We also will take a look at a couple early lines here next on Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back in. It's Tino Rodriguez and Chris Meany here with you. Mark, yeah, you're late. You're late, man. What's going on? We did give you some love earlier. You have a successful entry. I think maybe you won yesterday as well. I forget what you had here. I got them written down. You had something sharp, Mark Harrison. You had something sharp. I don't know. Maybe you didn't get one. Did he get one? I don't know if he got one. I think you got one yesterday, Mark.
Yeah.
On the fly, live yesterday. Television here. You got one yesterday, I think. I don't think you got one here today. All right. My bad, but we appreciate you hanging out, Mark. We appreciate you hanging out. Leave your best bet today in the YouTube section of this show. Let's look at the playoff scenarios. Let's look. Let's recap here what we got. Let's whatever you go. Whatever you're feeling. AFC, NFC. What are you feeling? What do you got? Let's surprise me.
Actually, let's do NFC because there is a change here. We finally have a change here. I do like the NFC because we've had the same 4-5 team for about 4 weeks in the Cowboys and the Rams, and now we have Dallas at 2, and Arizona's dropped all the way down to 4. And we have a new 1 seed in the Green Bay Packers. There's a lot of moving parts here. I do think it's interesting, though, that I mean, Minnesota is really in a playoff scenario from here on out. I don't see them winning this week. They're going to do their best to, and it would be a huge upset, but they're probably going to need COVID to hit the Rams again if they're going to do it. I love your Eagles to backdoor to the playoffs. I've said it a few times already.
Really?
I do, man. They're playing the entire NFC East. Like, it doesn't get easier than that. I mean it respectfully. It's just – Minnesota's got to play the Rams this week, and Philadelphia's playing the Giants. So, I mean, I'll look at the overall standings, but I think just if one loses, one wins in the Eagles, I think they're in. No, I think that's all they need, if I'm not.
Yeah, so they have the tiebreaker with the Saints. They need a loss from Minnesota, right? So I figure Philly, I mean, again, it's going to be tough to beat Washington. They'll be a little bit healthier, right? That game's going to be in Washington. You beat the Giants, you beat Washington, a loss to the Cowboys. But that Week 18 game to the Cowboys could be, from a Dallas standpoint, let's rest some dudes. They could be locked into the 2 seed. They could be fighting potentially for that 1 seed. That's certainly up in play for them as well. But I think the key for me, well, Minnesota this week, they have the Rams, right? Mm-hmm. That's going to be super tough for them. But then they have Chicago, but they also have Green Bay.
They have Green Bay right in the middle there, like at Green Bay.
At Lambeau. Yeah, tough. You know what it's going to come down to? This weekend, it may not come down to just this weekend, but if Miami beats the Saints, like Miami, that's a huge game too, New Orleans, Miami. But when I look at the Saints, I'm not really feeling their squad, but I feel like if they beat Miami – it's a lock. I think that they're kind of in. Then they take care of Carolina. Then they probably beat Atlanta, even though that is a division game. Toss up.
Yeah.
It does seem like it's just down to Philly, Minnesota, and the Saints to grab that final spot.
Yeah, and I think Minnesota starts this week, and obviously there's no gimmies. We saw Philly start slow against the Washington football team third string this week, right? So I'm pessimistic on the Giants, but they did beat them and shut down Jalen Hurts earlier this season, right? So anything's possible, I guess, but I don't see it. And I think they win the next two. I think you're right. It might come down to, and that's exciting. You know, the Eagles are normally used to just giving up in week 18 and letting other teams claim the division. I know that's what they did last year, but they're going to have to try this year and actually win at home instead of, you know, putting in Nate Sudfeld. But yeah, I mean, if the Cowboys pull their guys, which is likely, what's going to have to happen though is, because the three teams are tied from 2-4. So if you're Dallas, how much does the seeding matter to you, right? I don't know, though. I don't know. If you're Dallas,
I think they need to play at home. They're not the same. Dak's not the same guy on the road. I know we talked about that with Jake the other day. That's those stats are legit,
they would see the
man.
Eagles, though. If they were the 2 seed, say Philly did get in there, right? I mean, I don't there's a whole bunch of – it's a mess. It's a mess to think about. But, I mean, it would depend on how they see their seeding. But obviously the Bucs and the Cardinals are in a mix. They might give them some cushion. If the Cards lose this week, then it's really just them and the Bucs. I mean, I don't know.
I think the Cards are in trouble.
Yeah, they are in trouble. I don't see Dallas pulling starters to play Philly, though. It's like it's too proud. They're too proud.
I know. Why would they do that, right? Have a chance to knock off their division rivals, right? And that's risky business, man. When you have a chance to knock out, especially a divisional opponent, and you don't, and then you have to play them again. I don't know. What stands out to me was when the Mavs had that like 60 win season that one year, and they played the Warriors, and they benched everyone in the final game against the Warriors, and the Warriors crushed them. And they happened to crush them all year. Like, the Mavs had, like, 60-some-odd wins. They crushed everybody all year but the Warriors. They rested everyone in that final game. And then the Warriors crushed them in the playoffs. It gave them, like, confidence, man, to beat them. So, yeah, it was – I don't know, man. Resting your guys is really, really tough. AFC pitcher. Let's bring this one up.
We also have G-Dub in the house. Love to see it. We love to see it.
Oh, G-Dub in the house. Yeah, please pour one out for Bates TD Betters. We were all over it on this show. No surprise you were as well, having a long shot. First seed means nothing for the Cowboys. They can lose at home or on the road. Dallas going to bring their own bench to Philadelphia.
It is very true, though.
It is very true. Yes, we believe in the Dubs. So here we go. Kansas City up at the top. So Kansas City, obviously, huge news over the past couple days with Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce being placed on the COVID list, and some reports that there could be more here in the next couple of days out of Kansas City. Buffalo and New England playing each other this weekend for the division on the line. The Chargers and the Titans, the Colts and the Bengals in here as well. The NFC, AFC North is completely up for grabs. Even with the Browns, they lost that game and they were super depleted. But if they won that game, they'd be here. We'd be talking about them in the playoff picture as well. Colts, man. You talked about it a little bit yesterday, kind of coming around on them being a sneaky little team in the playoffs at, 22-1 to win the Super Bowl? Man, the defense is legit. Got a great offensive line. Carson, if he could just take care of the football, which he has for the most part.
That's what it comes down to. And I think it doesn't matter if anything. I think the Buffalo game is really what makes me see clear with them. And I know Buffalo isn't who everyone thinks they are, but them winning in Buffalo the way they did, I think kind of changed my perspective on them, where they could be that wild card team that comes out that no one wants to see. It's so interesting to me that every week keeps going by and we see how cluttered the playoff picture is. And I keep thinking we're going to get any clarity and we get none at all.
I just feel like the NFC is a little bit more clearer than the AFC, right? I think there's more consistent teams in the NFC. Although now we've seen Arizona, we've talked about them. G-Dub is hanging out. We've had conversations about Arizona being flaky. Right. So them, and then now Tampa's got to deal with Godwin, I think, is a huge loss. No Fournette here down the stretch. The Packers have been probably the most consistent team in the AFC and the NFC. Even the Cowboys, I guess, to an extent, but their offense has kind of spiraled a little bit in the wrong direction lately. Since Dak had that calf injury, he's just been mediocre.
I mean, if we want to talk about mediocrity, I was going to bring it up just because I can't get through a show without ripping them to shreds now. But the Titans are cooked, too. You imagine the Cardinals. Yeah. Titans are done. I think Thursday night will prove a lot. It's Tannehill. The only chance they have is Ryan Tannehill puts the team on his back, similar to Greg Jennings. Like, has to carry the team, score a couple rushing touchdowns, because I just don't see it. Who's he throwing the ball to? And the defense,
AJ could come back this week. He's designated to return, but that's not a lock.
But even when he was playing, like, man, the inconsistency. I was going to say the consistent inconsistency. Like, even with Julio, we just heard the same thing 2 weeks ago. So they just rubbed me the wrong way. Like, they're going to be fine. They'll be a top four seed. Like, maybe the Colts can catch up to them and tie them, but they don't have the tiebreaker. That's going to be the issue with that. They lost the two games that they lost, and they shouldn't have lost a one, and they would have been fine. But it is what it is. Could have, should have, would have. But they have a big game against the 49ers this week, and I like San Fran, man. I really like San Fran on the road this week. I know, you know, the 49ers, West Coast to East Coast there, but the 49ers infamously play better on the road under Shanahan. They just do. So,
yeah,
I don't know. There's that. We can hype up the Colts, but I think the thing with the AFC is we have to see what happens in the North battle, right? I mean, we kind of talked about it, but the Ravens, Bengals.
Who do you think's the best team in the? We got to break because we have some picks, like early lines to look at, and plus I want to talk Cooper Kupp, and you got some NBA. We both have some NBA stuff. Let's just break for now, and then we'll get into those lines. But I do want to get your initial thoughts on who you think the best team in the AFC North is. I mean, we only have so much time in the show to break it all down, but Mark, I missed it. You are in the draw, sir. You were 2 for 2. You had Kyle Lowry assists. You got the over on that. McCormick's just hanging out late to the show. Going to have to bet on sweet snooker parlay here tonight. What do we bet on here tonight? We got some NBA stuff. McCormick, you are 4 for 4 because you teased the Eagles and the Rams. So you had 2 bets on Monday and you had 2 bets on Tuesday. And Eric is giving NBA picks here on the fly. We love it. We absolutely love it. Samuel Wallace, welcome in, dude. We are going to continue Mean Streets here. We're going to have a little bit more NFL talk before we turn the page to the NBA. Don't go anywhere. Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany and Tino Rodriguez. So, Tino, this is something we haven't done a whole lot, but, you know, it's a bit of a slow day in sports. There's no NHL. There's only a handful of NBA games. Just wanted to take an early look at the Week 16 lines. A reminder, we won't be here on Friday, but we will have some bets in our FTM Bet Tracker and the Sunday Morning Betting Show with myself, Matthew Friedman, and Elliot Chris will go live on Sunday morning, absolutely free. We'll have 9-plus bets for you, our favorite spread, total, and prop. These are a couple that I just thought were interesting. I'd like to get your thoughts and thoughts from the viewers as well. So we talked about the Niners, the 3.5. Ugh, I wish it was 3, obviously. But I'm leaning with the Niners here. Just the way that they've been playing football lately, getting some guys back healthy. Jimmy Garoppolo is still a concern for me. When I talk about them being legit contenders, that's the one issue that I have is Jimmy G. But they're running the football so well. They're playing good defense. The Titans are spiraling out of control, turning the ball over, just finding it really tough to get anything going offensively without Derrick Henry, of course. The Colts and the Cardinals, I put the Colts in the bet tracker last night on the money line at plus 110. I'd like Indy. I'm not sure if that line has moved at all right now. I just really like the way that this Colts team is playing football. The Bengals and the Ravens, I just think it's an interesting game. I'm not ready to pick a side here yet. Obviously, we don't know about Lamar. I think I would lean with Cincinnati. It is tough to sweep a team twice. They crushed the Ravens earlier in the year. This is a big one as well. Rams and Vikings, my money right now would be on LA. And also another big one, Bills and Patriots. What I put here is Chiefs minus 10. I put two bets in the bet tracker. Steelers to cover this, just because, I mean, 10's a lot anyways, and the Chiefs have issues covering. Over the past couple years, they've had struggles covering. And we just don't even know if Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce's going to play, if there's going to be more COVID situations popping up. You can get Pittsburgh on the money line at plus 400 right now in some spots, Tino. I think it's worth just a small wager just in case. What if there's no Hill? There's no Kelce? What if Mahomes pops up on the COVID list? This is going to be closer to a pick'em game.
I mean, that's true. But I actually do think the Chiefs come out on top for the main reason that they've been relevant and came back to life over the last 2 months, their defense. I think the Chiefs defense can win really that good game. Yeah, I think we got a little Melvin Ingram revenge game there. I just saw a headline, a nice little bulletin board material, where they asked Mike Tomlin if he regrets trading the Chiefs Melvin Ingram, and he said no. I'm sure Melvin Ingram will love to hear that comment. Yeah. So if you can, please bet him to have a sack this week. Yeah, I like the Chiefs defense. As long as none of the key guys, and Chris Jones was already out last week, so if he comes back this week, that actually improves. So I'm not as discouraged by all the COVID pop-ups as everyone else. I think the Chiefs still get it done. They have, able-bodied running backs if Mahomes plays. I think the defense will lead them to victory. I'm not touching the Chiefs spread. I told myself this after they lost like the first 4 weeks against the spread. I gave up enough money against the Chiefs or for the Chiefs. I'm out of it. A few things I wanted to talk about. So we're at the point of the season where I think everyone showed their true colors. But at the same time, I'm trying to figure out where to go against the spread, against the grain of some of the popular picks. I think everyone's going to be on the Bengals this week. And I'm starting to like the Ravens a little bit more than I want to. And I know you were going to ask me who you think is the best team in the AFC North. And I think right now, mainly because they're the healthiest team, it's the Bengals. But
yeah,
I don't know. If the Ravens beat them, it wouldn't surprise me. The Bengals have owned them. People wrote off Huntley last week. They held it down against the Packers, against a defense that people crowned, against an offense that people crowned to be, you know, Aaron Rodgers MVP. They kept pace without the guy that everyone said should have, could have won the MVP this season, Lamar Jackson. I think that says a lot, man. And I think Harbaugh has the guys with the right mindset. He talked about how he loves that everyone doubts him. Granted, they haven't won yet, right? They almost backdoored the Browns. They almost backdoored the Packers. They lost a 2-point game against the Steelers. They're right there. If anything, if this spread gets to 3, that's the side I'm going to be on. Money line's a completely different discussion, but I think that's the one game I'm starting to like swindle away from the public a little bit. Like I like the Bengals as much as the next guy. I don't know. I don't feel great about it for some reason.
They're another team that's inconsistent, really. I mean, part of it's been on Burrow. There's been some brutal picks from him and some awful turnovers. They play in these crazy shootout games, apart from last week, obviously, in Denver. As a bit of a, you know, we kind of felt like that one was coming. Both teams running the football, not a lot of offense there. But
yeah,
I Huntley's been okay. Huntley was fine last week, too. I obviously, he's a little bit of a different quarterback than Lamar Jackson, but Not a significant downgrade. I thought he held his own against a really good Packers defense. And I thought it was really cool, too, from Harbaugh when he talked about at the end. Like, he was mic'd up. I don't know if you saw that. He went to his players after. He went to Huntley. When we tie this game, when we go down the field and we score, do you want to kick the extra point and tie it? Or do you want to go for the win? And he was like, let's go for the win. Like, let's do it, coach. Let's go for the win. Absolutely. So I thought that was pretty cool. Players coach,
I think the play call could have been better. I think the play call could have been better, but the idea is right. Don't give the ball back to Aaron Rodgers ever in general. If you could have won, and they would have gave the ball back to Aaron Rodgers with like 40 seconds left. But still, if you can go out and try to take a lead and win the game, you got to do it, especially against a guy like that. So
that KC line has moved to 7.5. So you won't
already
get 10 anymore.
Wow. Already.
That was just from last night at 10. Now it's 7.5 DraftKings. I'm seeing
makes
8
sense
in most spots. 6.5 in one spot as well. So
Meanie, are we overblowing? Are we overblowing the Colts a little bit and overreacting to the Cardinals? That's the only other question I had. Because obviously we know where we stand on it, but with the line at Pick'em, the Colts going on the road, we know what we know about the Cardinals. It's just, you know, sometimes when it seems too easy, if it makes too much sense, I just, I'm trying to see past it a little bit, you know?
I'm just Jonathan Taylor. I'm right? thinking Taylor. I'm thinking defense is just as good. Both defenses really strong. I'm thinking Taylor has been so great lately that I got to give the benefit of the doubt to the Colts here. Just the way they're playing defense, too.
Right?
And Kyler doesn't look the same. Kyler doesn't look the same, man. He made a lot of brutal throws against Detroit. Yeah. Maybe he's not healthy. There's some issues going on in Arizona right now. We got a break. We'll take a quick break. We got some NBA stuff. And then quickly, you got a Cooper Kupp, a little Cooper Kupp MVP conversation as well. So a little bit more Jonathan Taylor talk here on Mean Streets. All right, guys, this is what we're going to be betting on here today, NBA. There's a handful of games in the association. Tino's got some picks. I got some three-point props here, led by Jaylen Brown of the Boston Celtics. So four games since returning, 3-for-9, 5-for-13, 4-for-7, 3-for-7 from the arc, from beyond the arc, that is, 8-for-22 over his last two games. He has cleared 2.5 threes in 9 of his past 12 games. Nice to see him healthy back in the lineup. Monty Morris, over 1.5 threes, at least 2 threes in 7 straight games, and at least 3 threes in 5 straight games. It is juiced to the over at minus 160, but you can put that into a parlay, make it worth your while. We got Joe Metz's boy Tyrese Halliburton here, over 1.5 threes, 2 threes in 3 straight games in 7 of his past 10. And he had a 3-game stretch earlier in the month where he had 14 threes. He jacked up over 20 shots from beyond the arc. We have Chuma Okeke here, over 1.5 threes. Doesn't look like Cole Anthony, Wendell Carter. These two guys are out. Chuma's actually a pretty good season-long fantasy basketball pickup. At DFS World, you need to have your eye on him as well, just because of everything that's happening here with the Magic. He is 35 minutes and 39 minutes in his last two games, 7 threes, 33 points, 16 boards, 5 assists, 8 steals, 3 blocks. He is touching all categories for you, but most importantly, he is draining threes over the past couple of games. And then Bogdanovic is going to make his return here for Atlanta. I'm not sure if Trae Young is going to play. I don't think he is, and that's 20 shots per game that Atlanta's going to miss here. So Bogd's only averaging 2.2 threes per game, first game since November 27th. There's a little bit of risk here, but he's cleared 2.5 in 4 of his past 5 games, and that one is plus money. So a couple 1.5s that are juiced to the over, but you put them in there into a parlay and away you go. Only a couple games here in the association, Tino. We got about 1.5 minutes or so before we break, but is there anything on the board that you like? We know now that Raptors and Bulls are postponed.
Yeah, 1,000%. So a few lines don't really make sense to me. I just think they're too many points. So I'm going to take the plus 6 in 2 games here. I'm getting the Kings plus 6 at home against the Clippers, and I'm going to take the Cavs plus 6 on the road against the Celtics. The Cavs have been rolling. They've played the Celtics twice. Both times have been close. One of those times, the Celtics won. The game was decided by 6 points, so I understand why the line is what it is. But I really do like what the Cavs have going. I know we've been riding them for a while, and they're incredible against the spread. I just think that's too many points. I could see that being a one-possession game. And then the Kings have beat the Clippers twice this season. Yes. I know they don't have De'Aaron Fox, but 6 points at home. I mean, we're on Halliburton. He's been playing really well. I like the Kings at home. I think that's actually maybe a money line spot if we really want to get dicey here. And then I'm going to go with the Nuggets. If I want to pick a favorite, I'm going to go the Nuggets against the Thunder. I'll take them to cover. They're getting the hook at 6.5. Don't love it, but I'll get on it. Jokic, shout out to Joe Metz, is an MVP candidate. Reigning MVP. but not the MVP, the current reigning MVP, but not this year's MVP. Anyways, he's playing incredible. I like him against the Thunder, and those are my three.
He's still 14-1 Joker, by the way, to win the MVP. Like, it's not a bad bet, guys. Like, it really isn't a bad bet. I love the Cleveland one as well. They've won 6 straight games. We talked about them covering in 12 straight games just the other day. Kevin Love, man, I looked for a Kevin Love 3-point prop and I could not find it, but Love is getting it done. We talked about him last week. He's had at least 3 threes in 6 of his past 7 games. He's had, you know, he's couple double doubles over the past couple of weeks, flirting with the other ones, 23-9, 18-13, 13-9, contributing with a couple steals and shooting the ball pretty well. Kevin Love, I like to see him be healthy on the board. Mark Harrison, Tino picks fire all year, absolutely fire all year. We're gonna round the show out with maybe a little Cooper Kupp love, and what are the chances that this guy can win MVP? We'll talk about that next here on Mean Streets. All right, welcome back into Mean Streets one final time. We're just going to give a little bit of love to Cooper Kupp here. Another phenomenal game from Cooper Kupp. A couple things we had in our bet tracker, some long shots. You know, I don't know if you have that board. You don't really need to. Okay, here we go. We're bringing it up. Our guy George made this one last night. So I brought this to everybody's attention as a long shot on November 17th, 150-1. December 8th, he went to 125-1. Then he went back before yesterday's game. He was again 150-1. Today, after another massive game, he is 50-1 on FanDuel and 35-1 on DraftKings to win the MVP. Is he going to win it? Maybe not. It's a super long shot. We have never seen a wide receiver win before. Kupp has 90 or more receiving yards in 10 straight games. That's an NFL record. He had more than 90 in his first 3 games this season as well. And he has at least 90 yards in 13 of 14. Calvin Johnson, the single season NFL record with 1,964 yards. Kupp has another game this season as opposed to Johnson back in the day, but he is right there, man, of getting that record. And there's a lot of uncertainty right now in the NFL when it comes to who is the MVP. So why not sprinkle a 0.25 unit on 50-1 over at FanDuel, 35-1 on DraftKings. Soon he may actually just be the favorite to win the MVP. I think it's worth your time. I think it could happen. And he's got a great schedule to finish mini Baltimore and San Fran. And I think he's going to break Calvin Johnson's record with the extra game. Whatever. He's still going to do it. So just want to give him some love. He's in the MVP conversation. Sprinkle a little 0.25 unit on it. Also, head over to our FTN YouTube page. That's where you need to give your best bet of the day. Thanks so much for hanging out. Tomorrow, we will be back on Mean Streets. Have a good one. Cheers.